Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's time for me to speak. It's me, Carla G. I thought I was going to go clever, and already I'm stuttering and stammering for things to say. Anyway, folks, welcome to the show. This is I'm Just Saying, Carla G, as I said, and excuse me. I was eating some sweets before you started. And, you know, all singers know that you shouldn't be eating sugar before you have to sing, because that creates problems in your throat. Anyway, we are going to continue where we left off week before last. I sort of quickly call it the Skeezer Show. That's because we have with us author Jay Duvall, who has written a book called The Good Man's Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer. And he is finally on the line. Hang on, folks. Give me 1 second here of silence, or you guys can rattle papers or blow your noses. Maybe not blow your nose, but I just need to do something real quick here. Probably not the most professional thing to do, but just 1 second here. Okay. Everything's good. Oh, hey there. All right, so we're ready to go. Yes, we have Jay. You are there, right? Nope, he's not there. I can't get him there. And there is Jay waiting. Hello, Jay.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you there. I can hear you. Thanks for coming back. Also, folks, on the show is our beloved Dr. Tahuti. And with us from the previous show where we had Mr. Duvall on, we have Carol back on the line. Hello, Carol.
Hi.
Hi. And I definitely do appreciate it, Carol. You are a busy woman, and you are doing this while you're multitasking. So thanks for coming on. We have someone I didn't expect, but we love her, everybody's favorite, and yours. I mean, and mine. What do I mean? Hey, ABW is here. Hey, what's up? Yeah, sure. I knew that was coming. Okay, all right. And also from our show from last week, the last week's show where we were kind of talking about marijuana and some other things, we have Peter joining us again. Hi, Peter.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm just great. I'm wonderful. We do not have with us today Rich Byers, but that's okay. We have plenty of people on the show, and I think that this will be a pretty good round table. Now, I took up a lot of time last week. I don't want to take up as much time this week, but I do want to give some mentions to the programs here on Blog Talk Radio, which would be Sandstorm 7, S-A-N-D-S-T-O-R-M, the number 7. Also, one of my favorite shows, Online Think Tank, and one of my also favorite shows, Taui, T-A-U-I, here on blogtalk.com. So everybody, once you get done listening to this show, go on over to those programs that I mentioned. Now, where we left off week before last, and I do encourage listeners to check out our 10/24 program, October 24th program, and our March 8th program. Those were the two other shows where we had Mr. Duvall on talking about the subject of skeezers. Jay, if there's anybody out there who doesn't know what a skeezer is, how about you give us a quick definition, please?
Very quickly, a skeezer is a female that takes advantage of the interest of a decent male by taking advantage of him physically, which means deeds, financially, which means money, and basically any other way of taking advantage of his time. That's what a skeezer is.
Taking advantage of his time. And your book is written for men so that men are not taken advantage of.
Well, basically the book is written primarily for men, but it's written for women too so that they can see what that skeezer-like behavior is. So that if they are functioning in that inconsiderate manner, they need to change and be more considerate of the male.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now we have giggling. So who's giggling? Carol?
No.
Oh, no, it's ABW.
ABW is laughing.
Hey.
ABW is laughing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because?
This is interesting. This tickles me, actually. Continue.
No, and because?
No reason. just I like to laugh when I hear funny things. That's all.
Well,
what's funny?
Let's point out what makes it funny.
I think it's funny that okay, what is a man called when he's exhibiting these types of tendencies? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Who's that question for me?
Yes,
or
Mr.
anyone.
Duvall,
who,
that question would be for Mr. Duvall, who has defined skeezer and written a book.
Well, since males don't apply to come at me like that, I'll just guess that would probably be the same thing. But in most cases, it's the younger man that goes after the older woman who complies with him. It's usually never a man her age or older.
Okay, wait a minute.
The younger man goes after the older woman for money, deeds, and services, just like skeezers go after men.
But
primarily,
are you saying it's mm-hmm.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Are skeezers younger women going after older men?
Well, skeezers are women generally going after men regardless of the age. But what I'm saying is it's the younger men that primarily go after the older women for the money.
Okay. But
Carla, can I interject, please?
Oh, yes, Carol, please do. Hello, Carol.
Hi, good morning. I am so sorry to stop right there, but I have to just speak on my own experience as well as experiences of other women that I know. It is not just younger men going after older women. It does fit men of all ages. From my own experience. I just want to share that with you.
Oh, fine, but I said primarily. I didn't say just. I said primarily.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily kind of means just. I mean.
No, primarily means most. Okay?
Okay.
Because the
Hold on. Don't jump on, brother, now. he's being quite precise.
Primarily
don't do
means
that.
Most, because the majority, the older men typically don't do that because they are not conditioned to function in that manner. Yes, there are some, but they are in the minority, and my concern is the majority at this time.
Okay.
I still beg to differ, but okay.
No, well, go ahead, Kat.
How so?
Well, the reason why I say that is because, unfortunately, even though I'm sure that you do have your research and your numbers, but unfortunately, realistically speaking, people that fit a certain type of personality demographic, because that's what you're talking about, personality demographics, will pretty much do the same type of behavior, no matter what their age is. And I can guarantee you there are many older men that will exhibit that same type of skeezer-like behavior towards women of any age if they feel that they can get away with it with that woman.
Again, there will be some, but they are not the majority. My concern
okay, well,
is
you're,
with the majority.
You're saying, okay, there will be some. But now, and I may be wrong with this, Mr. Duvall, in your book, are you saying that majority of the women are skeezers?
Yes.
Or, uh-huh. Okay.
Mathematically, the majority is 51% or more. Yes, and as I also say, many women function in that skeezer-like behavior and don't even know they're skeezers.
But wait. Okay, many or most? Which is it?
The majority.
Majority.
Yes.
Which you're defining as most. So that's 51%.
The majority of
minimum.
Women are skeezers, and there's a small portion of them that function in that manner and don't know that they are.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh. I'm
okay.
A skeezer.
You might be. And don't even know it.
And don't even know it. All right, let me ask you this, Mr. Duvall.
Yes, ma'am.
And actually, this is where, Carol, in the previous show, you had asked Mr. Duvall to define, I think you had asked him to identify the qualities of a good man and the qualities of a good woman. So sort of to piggyback on that, okay. So, Mr. Duvall, to sort of piggyback on that question, since it's a majority of the women, and I've challenged you on this a few times, I mean, I don't know how in the world you could possibly know that it's a majority of the women. I don't know. I don't know how you could possibly know that. let me
make a point on that before
there,
we go on.
Okay.
The point is, look, I've had female friends that I talk with, and what I found out is that women will say certain things to women as far as the type of men they like, decent men, a hardworking man. They're not the type of women that want the man to take care of them. But I've had friends that I have intentionally put on the phone secretly with women that they tried to hook me up with just so that I could prove to them that most of what these women claim they want and how they want to be fair isn't the case. And I wish I could tie one in right now and prove it to you. There's a lot of stuff that women say when they're with their friends that they don't function in this, quote, so-called independent, fair manner. That's just a fact.
All right, well, but now just given your working with your statistics, you're saying, well, my question then is there any hope whatsoever for men if at least 51% of the women in the world, because you're saying most women, is there any hope whatsoever for men? Why should they even bother?
First of all, I wouldn't say the world. I would say, first of all, this American culture and the other places of the world that it has affected. And as far as there being hope, sure, there's hope because of the other 49% or less, as well as what I've said, those skeezers, many of them will get turned around once they have been abused and taken advantage of by the players out there. Then they would begin to allow themselves to see the average decent guy in a fairness.
Okay, now, you're now referring to men as players, but a few moments ago when, what, somebody said no? What?
No, I said no. There are players out there, and I've said in my book. No, wait a minute.
Yes.
I said there are players out there, and I did say that the skeezers take advantage of the decent average guys out there. There are two different types of people, and I mention them in my book. So it's not just all about men. I tell women about the men to avoid, but they don't avoid them. They go to them, they get played, and then they want to whine and whimper with the average good guy that they've avoided most of the time.
Okay. So, but what I was going to go, all right, what I was just going to go with was you were asked by ABW to put a category, an identifying category on the men. And you didn't have one, but now you're basically calling him a player.
I've got in my book, I have a category that I call the Players Club, and I list about 10 personalities in there that typically are the ones that the women go for, get involved with, and later on they're boo-hooing to the good guy about how no good this guy was. So they're in the book.
Well, if they were boo-hooing to their girlfriends, would that be okay? Because now it's sounding like you don't want the women to boo-hoo. You don't want them to boo-hoo with the good guy, or you don't want them to boo-hoo at all?
No. They don't boo-hoo with good guys. They boo-hoo with the players after the guys have come and gone. What I'm trying to get them to see is there are decent guys out there. Treat those decent guys and give them a chance just like you do the players. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, well, now let's go back again because we didn't quite get the answer. So, as I said, Carol 2 weeks ago had asked you to identify the qualities of a good man and the qualities of a good woman. So, what's a good guy? You've been saying that phrase a couple times in this conversation. Before you say that, you know, a couple things I forgot to mention. I don't know how or why. The chat room is open, listeners, and if you want to call in and concur or disagree or challenge any of us here on the panel, the call-in number is 646-716-4732, and the program is I'm Just Saying. All right, Mr. Duvall.
A good guy is basically responsible, and he's fair with the people that he encounters, be it the male or the female. And those are two words.
Ms. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish.
No, I mean, those two words says it all, responsible and fair. As long as
I thought you were done. Okay, let's define fair. Well, again, let's give us an activity. What's fair?
Mm-hmm. Fair is
in the dating world, because that's what we're talking about. The dating world, or we're talking about all over world.
We have to start somewhere, so we can start there. Fair is basically doing what you expect, doing for the person that which you expect.
Okay, is not love unconditional? Why
love is not,
should
love
we
is
be
not
entering?
Defined. Love,
oh,
love is
not
defined. Love is an emotion that does not define behavior because it's interpreted by different people in different ways. For some people, love is paying my bills. Some people, love is spending time with me. Some people, love is having children for me or getting somebody pregnant. So that's something that you just can't put into one box and think that everybody is going to function that way.
Okay. How about that?
I got some stuff.
Go ahead, ABW.
Well, okay, if a man, you know, gets a woman pregnant deliberately, which I have an ex-boss who that happened to her, women, we call that trapped. We don't call that love.
Okay, can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
Please.
First of all, and I have that on one of my blog pages, a man can only ejaculate inside of a woman. Okay, if we want to keep this mature and factual, once he ejaculates, he has absolutely no control as to what happened to that sperm. And if the woman is educated enough, she can take the Plan B pill, she can be on birth control. So a man can't get a woman pregnant. He can ejaculate in her, and then she allows herself to get pregnant, unless there is, he forces her against her will, rape her, and keep her until she gets pregnant.
So the only reason why I want to disagree with that, though, is just to go back, because all parties can should take responsibility. So it's true. He can ejaculate into her, or he can ejaculate into a condom, you know? You know what
I'm
saying?
But again, but the point wasn't responsibility. The point was getting her pregnant, and I'm saying she has total control over whether or not she gets pregnant. But very few people want to put that part of the responsibility on her. I'm not saying that he's not foolish for ejaculating if they haven't agreed to have a child. I'm saying she has control. Women want control of everything else. Why don't they control that?
You know, because it does take two parties to tango.
No.
And
wait a minute.
There's 50% control.
Wait a minute. No. No, again, we are talking about control of the pregnancy. He ejaculates, okay? Take it step by step. He will ejaculate. From that point, he has no control over what happened. A woman can prevent conception. She can prevent pregnancy if she chooses to. It's the choice
as
that you women have been.
He can unwrap that condom wrapper and he
look,
can
Carla,
roll
we can,
the
we
thing
can,
up where he needs
we can,
to roll
we
up.
We can keep and this conversation
sensible.
We can keep it sensible or we can get stupid. I can do both. The bottom line is he cannot stop
her. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a diss of the host?
He cannot stop her if she wants to get pregnant after he ejaculates. In most cases, she has the right to continue or not continue. It's her right.
Why don't we put what?
Why don't we put that responsibility where it is, okay?
And I think, sir, that I am putting that responsibility where it is, which is in the hands of both parties.
No.
The female, of course, can, you know, not participate in the act, but the man has just as much responsibility as making sure he doesn't ejaculate inside the woman.
We can go back and forth about this, but you know what? If you think about it, you have to think about what is best for that not-to-be-yet-born child. Going into a relationship with just the mother or a woman that says, no, I'm not going to get pregnant until I'm in a healthy relationship, because that's what it should be about, not about self.
Okay.
So
ahead. Should. Okay, hold on. Yes. Can I please interject right there?
Please. Yes.
Now, so are you saying that the woman should abstain from sex completely?
No.
Okay, then explain, if she's supposed to engage in sex, but say I'm going to avoid having a child until I am in a healthy relationship,
right,
then I believe she should, with her partners, agree to not create a baby. So they both should be taking measures to prevent it, because nothing is 100%. Nothing. Not even getting your tubes tied is 100%.
Yeah, nothing. I totally agree with you. Nothing is 100%. But how can you get any percent out of not taking any measures whatsoever? Again, I am saying that she has most of the resources available to her to not conceive and to not get pregnant. I don't believe
okay,
in
well,
it.
Sort of, well, Carol, go ahead, Carol.
Go ahead.
Okay, the reason why I'm even making a comment about this is because I am a woman who made the decision to have my tubes tied. However, I do know that if I have unprotected sex, meaning without a condom, there is a chance, a small percent chance, that I can still become pregnant, because after a certain amount of time, the tubes can, in some cases, become untied. So, as a grown woman who has made a choice not to have any more children,
mm-hmm.
I have decided to practice safe sex just to avoid any chance of getting pregnant. Again, I share the responsibility with the person that I am engaging a sexual relationship with.
And I
do not want to have another child, and I'm not ready for marriage right now. I just want to point that out.
Oh, good. And I think that's very mature and very responsible. And what I would say to the women out there is, if you think as responsible as this lady does, if he doesn't have a condom, why are you allowing him to have sex?
Exactly.
Okay, but now those are all great points. But so she's the skeezer because she being, you know, the she in just wherever, is the skeezer because she has allowed a man to have sex without him wearing a condom.
No,
because he's not. I'm not getting it.
No. That's a totally different conversation. Okay.
In that it is. All right. We sort of got off on a tangent there.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to understand is the guy who's not wearing a condom a good guy?
Wait, say that again.
Is the guy who's not wearing a condom a good and fair man, a respectful and fair man, if he's not wearing a condom? Or is he that
I think the guy that's not wearing the condom, knowing that there's a possibility of pregnancy, is very stupid and very irresponsible.
Is he good? You can be respectful and fair and stupid and irresponsible. So is he a good guy or not so good guy?
No, he's stupid. We can't just put it in a box. That is foolish and irresponsible.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just being the devil's advocate here, and
he could be a good or he could be a good or a bad guy, and good and bad guys are still stupid and irresponsible.
Well, yeah, but all right, exactly. See,
No. He's not a skeezer. He's not a skeezer because if he's trying to get her pregnant, he gets no money from her after she gets pregnant.
Oh no, he's a player, right? That's what he is.
He's a fool. He's a player.
I want to get the male voices. The other guy is in on this conversation, but you're making some statements, Mr. Duval, that we do have to ask you about.
Go ahead. Stay focused.
You know, no, that's all right.
Yes.
Anyway, you know what, Peter? Do you have any comments? You're listening to this, and
yes,
you're
I
a man, and what? What's that?
Yes, a man who knows when cat dander has risen and has politely kept his head down out of the line of fire. And now, yeah, I could weigh in on a couple of things.
Have we another diss from the men? Okay, you know what?
No, not a diss. Not a diss at all.
Cat
dander. You're entitled to your feelings and outlook. And one of the first questions was asked was, what would the male version of a skeezer be? And I thought of two more hard SCs. He'd be scandalous. He'd be a scoundrel. You know, anyone who takes advantage. The skeezer premise that I got was the premise of a woman being a predator. And I saw the Arnold Schwarzenegger predator head, the arachnid dog opening up, and I transposed that head like the water boy did in the movie where, okay, now anytime you see a skeezer, if that alarm goes off, I'll see a predator face. and then think of her sex part as a predator phase too, and stay away. So I saw a cautionary tale there. But a good man, I think any party, however mature they are, can be an unwitting dupe in a scenario. And I think maybe that's what this Caesar premise or this material lends itself to. I think it would be a great iPhone app. And then almost reading through it looks like the tome of a secret society. And the part of it that had me rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off, literally was about the pulpit pimp.
The pulpit.
And, you know, yeah, the ministers that basically get it all, you know, not to incriminate anyone who's prominent, but yeah, that they were the first people with power in this new world of African Americans. Even in slavery, the ministers had influence from their witch doctor days. They just had to flip those skills into the new faith, and they kept it moving. So I see that as an institution. But sure, I agree there should be caution on both sides with the sex discussion that I'm just coming in on the tail end of. There are people still having unprotected sex, provided that they can demonstrate proof of medical soundness and purity, that they're disease-free, and people who engage in long-term monogamous relationships then can comfortably remove the condom option. Even some people don't do that even in a monogamous relationship. Then there's others who have it flying regardless of whether they're single, and they're maybe like they're in the music biz, or they're on tour, or entertainers, or whatever, and they're meeting a lot of groupies, and that still goes
Peter?
On without condoms. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I got to interject in here. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I do appreciate that, though. I do appreciate that. In the meantime, I just want to make mention that, folks, you're listening to I'm Just Saying here on blogtalkradio.com. The chat room is open, and the call-in number is 646-716-4732. Our guest today is Jay Duval. He's written a book, The Good Man's Survival Guide, How to Identify and Avoid a No-Good Skeezer. On the panel with us today is Dr. Tahuti, Peter, whom you just heard, Carol. We also have the ABW, and we are just trying to understand Mr. Duval, and it definitely makes for good conversation. Yes? Who's that? Carol?
Yes, I'm just chuckling, that's all.
Oh, okay. All right. Mr. Duval, there is a chapter in your book, number 7. I'm holding it in my hands right here. And it's entitled, Am I a Good Woman or Just a Skeezer? Excuse me. Now, you have a list. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 points, which I think we did kind of mention that on the first case, the first show. But, okay, do you expect the women actually, that's something I want to come back to. But are you expecting a woman to meet all 13 points, or can she meet, more than half, and maybe 6 or 7 points and be okay?
It depends on the man, okay? And first of all, let me say about those 13 points, because I've had women criticize, well, what do you know? First of all, those 13 points came from a pool of women that were in happy, healthy, mutually beneficial relationships. I asked them what were the qualities they thought of a good woman. And after looking at all of them, I pulled out the ones that were most common with all of their responses, and that's what I got. So the argument is towards these happy women that are in relationship, not these manless women that have a problem with those qualifications.
Well, now, I wasn't asking that as if I personally had a problem, but I was just wondering if that was your – huh?
That didn't call your name.
No, you didn't, but I was just making clear that that was the case. I just wondered if a good woman had to meet 100% of these qualities, or if some of them were okay.
Well, I don't think anything is 100%, okay? And like I said before, those qualities depend on the man that's with the woman. I can't speak for all men. All I can do is provide that information which the women gave me.
Okay.
Men have to speak for themselves.
You're causing me to have confusion here. Just Carla.
Go ahead.
Huh?
I think we need to role play.
Yeah. You know, well,
and here's why I say that.
Go ahead.
Because the author has mentioned that 51% of the female population are skeezers. Now, there are three women on this show, which means that two of us have to be skeezers. So I've already pulled out my skeezer card for the day, and I've accepted the fact that I'm a skeezer. I need one of you to come with me.
Well, first of all, 51%,
I like that.
That doesn't mean that two out of you three have to be. But I'm saying in general, the majority is.
Well, then we are in a freak instance where you have the minority available to you. So
there you go.
Your stats say that two out of three of us should be skeezers.
Yeah, and I also say that most women will lie and say that they aren't because they lie to each other. But the proof is when they interact with the man, not what they say amongst each other.
Now, you know what? I think ABW has made an extremely valid point. And is it possible, you're talking about lying, Mr. Duvall, is it possible that you don't want to say what you really think about the remaining two women on the panel here because you realize that your microphone may be clipped? Is there a connection?
No, because first of all, I don't make assumptions like that. I don't know those women, so I can't say what category they're in. Like I say in my book, you can't determine a skeezer by the way she looked, by the way she wears, or anything. You determine it by the attitude and the behavior that she shows with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't even try to guess if they are because that would be unfair of me to do so.
Okay. Well, now let's get – we're now on the other half of the hour here. So let's I wanted to understand, and Hootie, we haven't heard from you much. We did hear you say something. You were defending our guest here. But Mr. Duvall, actually, you know what, real quick, I just want to mention something here on these 13 points. The title of the chapter is Am I a Good Woman or Just Another Skeezer? And the points that you make are that she is not looking for you, a man, to take care of her. She is emotionally free and psychologically healthy. She has healthy relationships with those close to her. She will not bring drama, stress, or debt into your life. These are all good and valid points. She can sensibly communicate her likes and dislikes to you. She does not expect for you to be perfect and does not try to change you. She is seeking companionship to enhance her happiness and not to make her happy. And then the last thing you have on here is she knows how to cook. I've skipped around. Obviously, I didn't mention all 13. But so she knows how to cook and is not expecting to dine out most of the time. So, of course, I'm going to ask on this cooking one, is it a good man who's expecting her to cook, or is it the player, undefined guy who cares whether she can cook or not? In other words, like, why are we talking about cooking?
Well,
does her goodness rely on whether or not she can cook?
Well, let me tell you why. For the same reason why most women expect the man that they're with to fix the flat. There are certain gender roles in a relationship that we do, okay? And cooking typically in general is the role that the female does. And I don't care whether it's a player or a good man. Most men would like to have a woman that can cook.
So, and that's okay by you. That part's okay. It's okay to want a woman to cook. It's okay to be a man and want a woman to cook.
It's okay for most men. Ask the men on the panel.
Thank you, Mr. Co-host Duvall. let's pose that to the other males on the panel. Dr. Tahuti, are you seeking a woman because of her cooking prowess?
No, don't phrase it wrong. Don't phrase it improperly. Now you changed it.
I said, I mean, in the kitchen, you know. Dr. Tahuti, calling Dr. Tahuti.
I don't have a comment necessarily about the cooking, but I would like to make a comment. You know, just in an attempt to elevate the discussion and to once again repeat, as I said in the last show, that I think this is an important discussion. I think, you know, I know some years back there was a lot of discussion groups that took place around, I think the book was The Color Purple, or maybe it was, I think it was The Color Purple, if I'm not mistaken. And I think to take this particular discussion, you know, and expand it and have it, you know, within our groups and in our circles. But the question I'd like to ask everyone on the panel, well, really is two questions, not to usurp you, Madam Hostess, but...
That's okay. Seriously, go ahead, yeah.
I would like to ask, because clearly we're talking, or Mr. Duval is talking about a symptom of the problems that exist in the relationships between, if I could, you know, narrow this down, between black men and black women. And I would wonder the opinions of those on the panel, at what point historically, if we could all buy into a gradual deterioration of that relationship between black men and women, at what point did that relationship begin to deteriorate and why? And then secondarily, I'd like to ask, what is it that defines for a people a relationship? In other words, what defines the role of a man and the role of a woman in a relationship?
In a relationship, yeah. Well, you know what, I want you to go ahead and answer that first. But I do appreciate, Dr. Tahuti, that you did take it there, because actually I wanted to get to that. I wanted to, you know, come up with a solution so that we're not having to regard anybody as a skeezer, so that we understand why this is not good. I mean, I think, seriously, I mean, Mr. Duval, you do have excellent points in the book, you know, and it's just unfortunate that the people have to be regarded as skeezers, and it's equally unfortunate that folks get really angry about it. But go ahead, Mr. Duval, if you would address that.
Well, as far as the erosion, I believe that one of the first things that caused that was integration, okay? Because integration destroyed something that was established as a result of segregation, which were forced dependent on each other. Once that happened, it went through the schools, it went through the homes. So that was where I believe it first started. Then you had the movement that came through, the feminist movement that came through, and that added to it. Now, I don't have a problem with equal rights, male and female, but certain things I think we take in without taking a close look at how it affects us. So I would say those two things.
Mm-hmm. But and then within a relationship, what are the roles? What do you regard as the role of a man and the role of the...
No. What is it?
Oh, that's not what you said? I'm sorry.
No. What is it that defines the role of a man and the role of a woman in a relationship?
Okay, I would go back to those two components I say that we should start with, which is respect and fairness. It starts there.
Okay. All right. Carol.
Yes.
Did you caught those questions there?
Well, I do understand Mr. Duval's position. However, my concern, though, is, and going back to what the good doctor just shared with us, what is truly the basis of, you know, the role of a woman and the role of a man in a relationship? Because fairness and respect that's human. That's just in general. But we're talking relationship, because again, that is the foundation of how the man even determines a woman is a skeezer or not. He's pursuing some sort of relationship with her. So we need to know, what is his foundation of a good relationship with the man and the woman? Like, what defines that? Because it sounds to me like he feels that there is a specific role of a woman and there's a specific role of a man in any relationship when it comes to being together as man and woman. So we just kind of need to know where that is, because I'm sure with the good doctor, his foundation is what God gave us. I don't think that that is where where Jay Duvall is coming from.
I don't
He's
get
taking
into
a different stand.
Into religion. Let me tell you that right now.
I can tell. It's okay.
No, because there are too many religious hypocrites. You can have another show, and I'll be gladly to talk about that. But let's stay focused here, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Like I said.
Once again, my co-host.
Again. Respect and fairness. If you respect a person, then you will allow them the opportunity to listen, to speak, and you will listen to them. And I say it in fairness. That means that you will not do any more than you expect. Now, when people talk about relationships, but you have to understand, we have to get to a relationship, which means we have to date each other and get to know each other. Most relationships don't work because their foundation is based upon lies, deceits, and whatever else you want to call it. And that's why we just jump into a relationship. You have to get to know somebody. And this, in my book, tells guys, get to know this woman. And notice, I don't speak of violence. I said if you identify her, avoid her. Let her go and find yourself a good woman.
And just to interject in there, I don't know what chapter it is, but there is a chapter, and you've said here a few times, you know, you may not be able to identify the woman as a skeezer. I mean, if it turns out that the woman is a skeezer, she may not be identified until you've gone out on several dates. Mm-hmm. But then when the female is deciding that she no longer wants to be bothered after a couple of dates and after some money has been spent on her, you know, you automatically deem her a skeezer when maybe she's also realizing, hey, this isn't the guy. So
Let me respond to that. Mm-hmm. What I tell guys, first of all, is minimize the money that you spend. Now, this is, again, like I said, fairness and respect goes into the dating even before relationship. Fairness would be if this guy takes a woman out on a couple of dates and pays for it, if she likes him, if she is a fair person, she will pay for the dates as well. Now, you can't get around fairness. You can say all you want. Fairness cut between the male and the female's behavior.
All right. Well, then just to get on that, and then I want to get Peter in, because we are now coming down to, you know, we got about 15, 16 minutes in the show. You, with all due respect, Mr. Duvall, you're using the word expect a lot. And, mm-hmm. again, I think I said this earlier, that can you consider that all of this is unconditional? I mean, why have all these expectations? I mean, why not just meet the person and you know, cleanly, just be going on a date and, oh, my gosh, she said something about paying for it. Now she's a skeezer.
Let me answer that. You can do that. And what I say is, if you want to do that, ideally, both people pay their own way. If you don't like each other, you don't have any obligation. You can go your own separate ways. Nothing's wrong with that. I say if you can't afford to take yourself out to dinner, don't expect someone else to do it. Better yourself.
Okay, but also, and then one other point you were making. Earlier you were talking about when I was brought up the 13 points on your list there, mm-hmm. with the cooking, mm-hmm. and you were saying that we're socialized. There are some gender-specific roles that we're socialized into. Then again, and I know this is a point that people argue with you a lot, aren't we socialized to a point where men are expected to pay? I know this is one of the things that always becomes you know, the larger topic. With
yeah, well, let me say it because we're running out of time. Let me talk on that. Yes, men are expected to pay, but trust me, there are very few, if any, men looking to go out there and just freely, foolishly spend their money with no reciprocation from the woman, okay? And there are good women out there that understand that rule, which is part of my other book. They understand the rule. The guy pays, she reciprocates in whatever way there is. There are women out there that intentionally go out there, like the pigeon, to get free meals from guys with no intention on having a genuine interest in him.
Okay. All right, Peter, as concisely as you can, dear.
Yes, conflict resolution's in order. Caesar math, I think, would be less offensive if it was a ratio, say, of a per thousand women, like real statistics. So I wouldn't tar any women present company in the panel today with a Caesar brush. So let's take that issue off the table. Secondly, culinary skills are a plus with either sex. And myself, I learned homemaking skills so that I wouldn't have to depend on a woman to do it. So I can iron, I can fix a meal, not just microwave, and imitate or reverse engineer something I like at a restaurant if it's tasty enough to save money buying it later. And that's a good dating idea. So, no, it's not a gender-dependent thing that a woman has to know how to cook, but it's something we've gotten away from. And some women have seen it as a patriarchal obligation. And it really isn't. If you're a single mom and you have mouth to feed, then it's a maternal obligation. So if you're
now going back to what Dr. Tahuti had presented to us. Excuse me.
In terms of what constitutes a good
The role, Dr. Tahuti, you want to phrase it again for us?
Two questions.
Yeah.
At what point historically did the relationship between black men and black women deteriorate to the point that we are having this discussion,
and we
have the marriage rate that we do currently, and why, and what is it that defines the role of a man and a woman in society or in a relationship?
Well,
and if you can, Peter, real quick, because I want to get to ABW,
really
maybe
well,
throw
some
my
of the,
comment.
Some,
and,
some of the points were touched on it earlier in terms of the feminist movement, but I account that the difference in the sex ratio due to the attrition of the Vietnam War, the Gulf War, the rise in the criminal population, the rise in the prison population, and also percentage of income-earning males in the black population in a certain age bracket, that changed the ratio too, and maybe the skeezer.
That's where the breakdown is what you're saying.
That contributed to the breakdown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
The role of a man and a woman to me is to complement and supplement each other. I feel that's the basic premise. You join yourself to someone else because you couldn't contemplate not having them, or they are such an asset to you that you're a synergy, you're better. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Don't do it if that's not there. Anything else is just brain chemistry. It's just, I dig you, and, you know, you have brain chemistry telling you to do the Humpty Dance. And people want qualitative relationships. You need more. You have to build trust. You have to exchange ideas. In a literary manner, in a cultural manner, it's not just, and physical attraction is great, but your mutual support network. Maybe you're like New World Sidebusters, but you're urban. If you're hooking up, you're building something. You're an ecosystem.
Thank you. ABW?
let's see here. At one point, they asked them about previous relationship. Previous relationship failed because I was too understanding and too nice to him. So that was the problem. In terms of why black men and black women aren't really getting along these days, is because, in my opinion, black men are getting soft. Next.
Oh, wow.
Are getting soft. Oh.
That's a nice comment. More detail would be really appreciated.
as to how nice I was to my previous relationship?
What do you mean by soft?
I'm a type A, if you haven't noticed, And I've always been told by my family that I'm going to need to date a man who is weaker than me because I'm such a strong person. But I don't like weak-ass dudes, you know? So there you go. Black men are soft.
That doesn't explain behavior. I know we don't have any time, but I would like that from a behavior perspective, something tangible that we could see that the person does or doesn't do. That would help.
I can give an example. I can give an example real quick, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience and experiences of other women like me.
Mm-hmm.
We have experienced the soft man. I'm not going to say man because I've gone through the man who wants me to be his mama.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I mean by that is nurture him, support him, feed him, clothe him, clean him, take care of every aspect of him because he was never taught how to do it himself, nor did he develop any appreciation, as the other panelists said, learning how to cook for himself so he can take care of himself, you know, like when he goes to college or when he gets his first job. Yeah, I had that guy in my life, and that's an example of a man being soft. Another example is the man who's more into being a metrosexual.
No, let me ask you something about the soft guy. You mentioned that. Now, did you know these were the things that you did not like?
Oh, absolutely.
As soon as I discovered it,
it was over.
Okay, that was my point. How long were you with this guy once you discovered it?
I would say probably I knew that this is what I was dealing with within about maybe 2 to 3 months. I say three because some are good liars.
Okay, well, then you did the proper thing, and that was to move on, and that's all I tell guys. Just simply move on. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not made to be with this specific person. If it doesn't work, then the world ends. You just move on until you find that person that's compatible with you.
That would be correct, but it seems like sometimes you regard them as skeezers.
Well,
move on. If the man has shared any of his money, then when the woman says, you know what, it's not working, then she's a skeezer.
No, but I like the way you try to end it. Go ahead.
Okay. No. If it matters what I think, I think that the breakdown came maybe somewhere in the 80s or possibly in the 50s, possibly after World War II. I don't know. I actually have this question all the time because I know that black people seemed to work together better, you know. Maybe it was at the time of integration. I don't know. I really haven't come up with a precise answer on that. But as far as the roles go, my answer is fairly generic. I just really think that they are to support one another, you know. And, yes, I would even say, you know, certainly that means no drama. That means being understanding. I think fairness is important. I think balance, you know, that's the word I use. I think balance is important. But I also, I think that when we start expecting something from someone, that's where the trouble starts, you know. I mean, I really do think that unconditional is the way to try and go.
That's a joke.
Unconditional. No, that's not a joke.
Wow.
If you have a relationship with a guy and he goes out there and has an affair with someone else, are you going to unconditionally remain in that relationship? I don't think so.
You don't know. You're speaking for me. You know,
In general, most women won't. Okay, so let's not be just totally
That would
ridiculous.
Be the skeezers, because most women are skeezers.
Exactly. But again, I mean, if the guy did that, see, we're getting it twisted now. We're the woman. If to use your example, my reaction would determine whether I'm a skeezer or not. Not the fact that he went out and had an affair, right? What?
No, because okay. First of all, it depends on the situation in the relationship. And let me tell you why. There are a lot of guys that are in wealthy positions, popular positions, famous positions, and not that their women know something is going on. It may not be the exact person they know, but they know a lot of these relationships aren't monogamous. Although we want to pretend that they are, we'll just turn a blind eye because we are still receiving what we want out of the relationship. It's all about negotiating and bartering what we get out of it.
All right, that's a good place for you to have Dr. Tahuti come in with some final words on this. And please, Dr. Tahuti, and I also hear our friend in the background who has a comment, but we'll have to let him speak a little bit later. Well, I don't know if you ever hear the dog in the background, but there's a dog that just, there's a talking dog that participates in this program. We've got about 4 minutes, Dr. Tahuti. Let's say 3 minutes. Yeah.
Well, I would say that the point at which our relationships begin to deteriorate is probably a matter of some discussion and further discussion that we need to have. I would suggest that it is at the point that enough of our connection to ourselves and to our culture had been destroyed, and enough of it had been replaced with the culture of this society, would be the point where we would find that our relationships began to deteriorate to the point that we now see it. And I think the role of a man and a woman is defined by culture. Culture defines what it is that a man is, what his responsibilities are, how he functions as a mate, how he functions as a father. It defines a woman, how she functions as a mother and as a mate. And to the extent that we do not use our culture or remember it, or to the extent that we don't seek it, and to recreate it in this society, is the extent to which our relationships, families, and society is in disarray. And then I would say just finally that I would just disagree with the point that Brother made about love not being definable. Love is absolutely definable, and perhaps the point at which all of this becomes, you know, a matter of some confusion is at the point that love is reduced to being just an emotion and not an action. Love is an action. It is an active force amongst human beings. It is an active force in the world. And so love, very simply, is defined as to give, seeking nothing in return. And so that I would suggest that if the man and the woman are functioning with that definition of love, each that is giving, seeking nothing in return, then you have the automatic elimination of the player, the skeezer, and all these other dysfunctional characters in our midst.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Dr. Tahuti. Very good points to make. Mr. Duvall, if you want to have the last word, you got about 20 seconds.
Okay, sure. And, no, I totally agree with the doctor, but what I did say, I didn't say love wasn't definable. I said with most of us, we don't define love. We just go into it. And I'd like to say I appreciate everybody on the panel. And one thing to remember, a conversation is good, but if we don't change our behavior after receiving the information, it's just talk.
Repeat that again, because I think it's going to, if we don't, what'd you say?
I said conversation is good, but if we don't change our behavior once we receive good information, then it's nothing but talk.
Okay, that sounds good. Talk. And what you've been listening to is I'm Just Saying here on blogtalkradio.com/I'm Just Saying. Jay, you have a website, jduvallseries.blogspot.com. Thank you for coming back. Thanks to everybody, Dr. Tahuti, ABW, Peter, Carol. It's been wonderful. It's been great. Maybe we can find another topic to talk about with this panel.
Yeah, type A person.
my bold blood type partner.
See, 10 seconds. I got 10 seconds. And thanks. No, really. We got 10 seconds. See, you guys heard it. Everybody, take care. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.